your place there in the pages of God's Word, Luke chapter number 1. I mentioned to you on Wednesday night, I believe it was, that I was going to, if the Lord let me, not preach on a Christmas theme. Well, I'm going to do half of that, okay? I began thinking about what the Lord would have me to preach, and when I told my wife, I've been preaching on some of the great women of the Bible, and I told my wife, I said, I'm going to preach on the women of the Nativity. She said, good, I've never heard anybody preach on Elizabeth. And I thought, well, I hadn't either, and not a whole lot of information. I said, honey, I don't think I'm going to be preaching on Elizabeth. And so I was studying and preparing, and I began to read, and suddenly I began to look at Elizabeth, and all kinds of things started flowing out. And so tonight we're going to talk about a woman by the name of Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. Now, before I do that, Luke chapter number 1, I do have an announcement that I had to force to happen tonight. And Evan and Melanie are expected. Now, when I say that, we're waiting 3 months. And I said, Evan, it's time. We're not going to hold it back any longer, okay? So let's give them a hand tonight if we could, okay? So she's 3 months along. We're excited for Evan and Melanie Keaton. All right, Luke chapter number 1, find your place, if you would, please. Verse number 5. Notice the Bible said, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea. Now, this is Herod the Great. He's a murderous man. It's a very dark time in Israel's history. There hasn't been a word from God in 400 years. Much of the nation has drifted into apostasy. They've drifted far from God, but yet there's a handful of people who are believers in the God of heaven, and they're waiting, longing, praying, desiring for Messiah to come. And the couple I'm getting ready to read of would be a part of that group. And the Bible said that a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abi and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they were both now well stricken in years. I want to talk to you about Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. Let's pray and ask God to speak to our hearts tonight. Father, thank you for the sweet spirit in the service tonight, and Lord, the faithfulness of your people being here, those, Lord, watching by way of live stream tonight. And Father, I pray that you might meet with us. Let your word be powerful in our hearts. And I pray that Christ will be magnified tonight as we look at this woman by the name of Elizabeth. And Lord, I've noticed as I've studied my Bible, whenever you were going to raise up a great man, you rose up a great mother. And Lord, I believe that's the case with this lady that we'll look at tonight. Lord, traits in her life to emulate and examples to follow. And I pray, Father, that you'll meet with us tonight through your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Elizabeth was of the daughters of Aaron. That means she was born into the priestly tribe of Levi. She was wife of Zacharias, who also was a Levite. He was a priest, and he was of the course of Abi. It's his time, and usually there were so many priests by this day, and David years ago had divided them into what we would understand as courses. And what that meant is that the families and the different individuals in the priesthood would probably serve one time in the temple in their lifetime, and for about 2 weeks. And this is one of the weeks in Zechariah's life that he would be allowed to serve in the temple and to carry out his priestly duties in the temple. And he was given one of the great positions, one of the great honors, which was to go into the holy place and burn incense before the veil. A very important task, and no doubt he felt very honored in this life. And you're going to see the providence of God as he's going to go into that, into the temple to carry out his work, and he's going to receive a message from God. But let's go back to Elizabeth for a moment. Elizabeth's name means God of the oath or God of the covenant. Her name was a reminder that God keeps his promises. And by the way, let me tell you tonight, God keeps his word. Amen. What he promises, he will perform in our lives. And as we look at Elizabeth's name, we're going to find the truth that God is the God of the covenant is seen in that her son would be the introducer of the Messiah, not just to Israel, but to the world, a man by the name of John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, prophesied by Isaiah and Malachi that he would come, and that a man would come, and he would present, and he would preach, and he would pave the way for the coming Messiah. And God has chosen this godly woman by the name of Elizabeth to be the means by which that he would bring John the Baptist into the world. And I want us to look several things about her life tonight. First of all, I want you to see her righteousness. Her righteousness. Would you look again in verse number 6? The Bible said they were both righteous. Now, you know what? We would think that it would just be a natural thing. If God's going to use a lady to be the birth mother of John the Baptist, she'll be a godly woman. But Luke is going to highlight the fact that they were righteous because of the spiritual declension, the spiritual darkness that had settled upon the land. Matter of fact, the nation was in such apathy. You know that when the wise men would come and they say, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" And the tense of that word means they were asking everybody. I mean, they come into Jerusalem, they just thought everybody would know that Messiah had been born. And where is he? Where is he? Where is he? And there was a great stir there. And you remember he went, and they went to the palace, and they met with Herod. And so he's going to inquire and say, where's the Messiah to be born? And they're going to tell him in Bethlehem of Ephrata, or there in Judah, a prophecy out of the book of Micah, out of the prophecy of Micah about the birthplace of Messiah. What's interesting is the wise men cared enough and they believed enough. These Gentile magi would believe enough to go down to Bethlehem and see the newborn king. But yet the scribes and the priests of the people who ought to have been waiting and longing and looking and believing for a Messiah, they could have cared less. Matter of fact, they were apathetic. It didn't even matter to them that Messiah may have been born. It didn't stir anything in their lives as a result of that. And you know what? I'm afraid that same spirit is settling over America, that we're getting an apathetic mindset to the things of God. We're losing the excitement of what God can do in a people's life. And hey, let's not let that be true of us tonight. Amen? And the Bible said that in distinction to the others who were dwelling in the land of that day, that these two people were righteous before God. You say, "Preacher, what does that mean?" Well, I want you to look at the word righteous. Would you just underline in your Bible, your mind, the word right? Well, what does it mean to be righteous? It means to be right with God. Here were two people that were right with God. They were righteous in the sight of God, before God. And what's interesting is that it simply means that they were saved. They had placed their faith in the God of Israel for salvation. They knew what it was to have their sins forgiven. They were believers in the Lord. And by the way, let me just tell you, that's the need of every man, woman, boy, and girl, is to be right with God. Amen? The truth is that we're born into this world wrong with God, and we believe, the Bible said, under righteousness, and we're wrong with God. We need to be made right with God. And when we believe on Christ, we believe under righteousness, we're made right with God. And so here was a couple that they were righteous before God. But I want you to notice also in our verse, they were right before men. Look what the Bible said, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. You know what? Here was a couple of people that you couldn't point an accusing finger at. You could look at Zacharias and Elizabeth's lives, and you could tell that they lived what they believed. Let me ask you a question. Do the people in your community, in your family, the people we work with, do they know that we live what we believe? Do we walk what we talk? Is there the reality of God in our lives? Matter of fact, for Zacharias and Elizabeth, by the way they lived, you could tell to whom they belong. And you know what, folks? I don't want anybody to question who I belong to tonight. Amen? By the way, can I just take a little side note? Young people and young adults and Christians, let's guard. Listen, hey, we may not be guilty of vulgarity, and we may not be guilty of profanity, but you realize that God says that we're not even to allow crude talk to come out of our mouth. That questionable language. And we need to be careful what we say and the language we use. Hey, there ought to be a distinct difference in how we look and act and talk in our day. People ought to be able to know who we belong to. Amen? And so they were righteous. That word walking has the idea of a continuous part. This was the habit of their life. They didn't live for God once in a while. They lived for God all the time. And I tell you, I want to be the kind of Christian that whether I'm here preaching in a pulpit, whether I'm in the office, whether I'm out on a golf course or in the community or among my neighbors, I want to be the same all the time. That's the best compliment anybody could ever say of me. That, you know what, doesn't matter where you're at with Pastor, he's the same all the time. But not only do we see her righteousness, I want you to notice, secondly, her reproach. Look at verse 7. And they had no child. They were childless. Now, the Bible's going to tell us they were very old. Notice the Bible said they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. They wanted children, but they couldn't have children because Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken years. That means that they were beyond the human ability. There wasn't a whole lot humanly could be done. You know, no doubt that this was a burden in their heart, and especially in Elizabeth's heart. For a woman in that Jewish culture of that day to be without child was, in her mind, a thing of shame and reproach. And they were often ridiculed and by other women and treated with contempt. And no doubt this in her mind, and a lot of people believe that if you were barren that you were being punished by God. And we know that's not true. But they believed that in that day. And you know what? Luke is careful to let us know something under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. God wanted you to know this was a godly couple and she wasn't suffering because of something that she had done. God was at work in her life. Can you imagine that all of her life she wanted children and God withheld that in her life until His appointed time? Can I tell you, there's times, men and ladies, that God puts us in His waiting room. That's not always a fun place to be. I'll never forget, I was flying the very first time I went overseas to Europe. I was going to be with Brother Pinson in he was actually in Germany at the time, and Würzburg. And I'll never forget, first time I'd flown internationally like that. I'd flown to Mexico, and I know that's here, but I'm talking about across the big pond. And I remember taking the flight. I had no idea, Brother Harper. No, nobody ever told me that when you're flying, you're going right into the sunshine. That as you're flying at nighttime, it might be midnight over here, but it's daytime over there. And as you're flying, boy, the sun's coming up, and it's bright and brilliant. And I hadn't a bit more closed my eyes. Next thing you know, I was waking up. I was worn out. I was about half dead. And so we get there, and we're ready to land, and I'm ready to land. And he tells us, well, we can't land yet. And you know what? I bet we circled. We were in a holding pattern. I bet we was in a holding pattern for 20 minutes. I was sure flying all the way across the ocean from New York all the way to Frankfurt, Germany, that we were probably about out of gas. And there wasn't any service stations up there. And there wasn't a gas tanker plane going to come by and fill us up with fuel. I just know any moment we were going to go right straight down to the ground. That's going to be the end of me. Well, I've got used to it now because you just turn and turn. You're in a holding pattern. Let me tell you something. There's times God will put your life in a holding pattern. It's time to trust Him. Those are difficult times and hard times in our lives. But I want you to know, I like what John Phillips had. The stops in the Christian life are as important as the starts. And there's times that God puts stop signs in our life and red lights in our life and holding patterns in our life because He's preparing us to do something great in our lives for Him. And that's exactly what's going on in their lives. God's waiting to the point that it can't be anything they did. It'd have to be what God did. The Bible said that they were well stricken in age. That was her problem. But notice her prayers. Look, if you would, verse number 8. And I'm going to do a little bit of reading. I'm going to explain some things as we work our way through the passage. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, that means he'll serve 2 weeks in his lifetime. And that doesn't mean he doesn't teach the Bible. It doesn't mean that he didn't have priestly duties, but actually serving in the temple proper would take place 2 weeks in his entire life. You're only going to serve from 30 to 50. You only got 20 years of active service as a priest. And you're going to find that 2 weeks out of that 30 to 50, that he's going to carry out his work. And look at verse number 9. And according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot, his position, what his task was, what it was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. That was something that every priest desired to do. And God's going to bless Zacharias and allow him to do that. He's going to go into the temple, and right before the veil that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies, the place where God dwelt, there would be a golden altar of incense, and it would be his job to go in there before the veil, and he would burn the incense on the altar to fill the room with a sweet smell of fragrance, which was representative of the prayers of the saints of God and the worship of God. And by the way, there ought to be some fragrance in our lives going up to God. Amen? And usually they did it very quickly. You say, why? Because they were fearful. That, I mean, in their minds, they were coming into the very immediate. I mean, God was just on the other side of that veil. And they was fearful of doing anything wrong. Even the high priest, when he went into the Holy of Holies one time a year, had bells on the bottom of his robe so that as he was in there, they could hear the tinkling sound when he sprinkled the blood. They knew everything was all right. While he's there, something powerful and supernatural is getting ready to happen. All in the course of God's will. Look at verse number 10. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of the incense. The whole people gathered there for service that night. And there appeared in him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Now here's what Jews believed. They believed that angels were always on the left side. They believed that God was on the right side of the altar of incense. And so Gabriel wasn't standing where Zacharias would have expected it. He was on the other side, which means that he thought he was seeing God. And he thought he was a dead man. That's why he had such fear at that. Now listen, I'd be afraid if I saw an angel too. What about you? But he had even greater heightened fear because here's the form of a man, and he thinks he's seeing a pre-incarnate appearance of God. Well, he wouldn't know it's a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ, but he thinks he's seeing a theophany. He thinks he's seeing an appearance of God, and he's fearing for his life. Look at verse number 12. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled in fear. I mean, listen, we read that. He was troubled and fear fell on him. Let me tell you something. He was scared to death. All right? Verse 13, but the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias. Now watch these words, for thy prayer is heard. Wouldn't you think Elizabeth would be in on those prayers? I can imagine, no doubt, there Gabriel comes and says to him, I'm here to let you know that God has answered your prayer. I can see that godly couple as they probably time and time again, maybe night after night, morning after morning, held hands, and they begin to ask God for a child. No doubt Elizabeth in the midnight hours would wet her pillow as she would petition God to give her a child. And no doubt they had prayed for years and years and years, and no doubt wondered if God would ever answer their prayer. And now the angel's saying, I just want you to know God's heard you, and I'm here to tell you He's going to answer you. I jotted down some thoughts about prayer real quick, and I just want you to see it. First of all, it says something to me about the persistence of prayer. Elizabeth and Zacharias didn't pray one time and give up. I wonder how guilty we are of praying one time about something and then giving up because God didn't answer when we thought He should have. I think we ought to continue to pray. You remember God says something about knocking and keeping on knocking. You remember that? And asking and keeping on asking. And I believe there's something about persistence in prayer. And they just kept on praying. And let me just tell you something, Christian. Let's be like Elizabeth and Zacharias. When we feel something or we take something before the throne of God that burdens us, hey, let's not just pray one time and quit. Let's just keep on taking it before God. There are people that are in heaven when God answers their prayer on earth. They are. They prayed for children to be saved or grandchildren or maybe somebody to come back to God, and they never saw it this side of heaven. And they went to glory, and then God used that situation or a circumstance and answered that prayer. And that loved one, I have a sneaky suspicion when the joy went up in heaven, they had an idea of what was going on earth. What about you? But they might be in heaven. And you know what? You might be in heaven when God answers your prayer. You just keep on praying. Thy prayer is heard before God. God hears our prayer. Amen? But then I thought about something else, was patience. They waited on God. Can I remind us that God doesn't always work on our schedule? He doesn't always work on our timetable. I mean, we've got instant mashed potatoes, instant grits, instant gravy, instant biscuits. We got instant everything. And we live in such an instant society. You remember those old computers? You know, you go out and play a basketball game or a horseshoe game just waiting on it to boot up. You know what I'm talking about? Now, I know I got millennials here. You don't have a clue what I'm talking about. And now, I mean, you open up, you expect it. Boom, there it is. And if it isn't quick, what's the matter with my computer? I mean, it just won't go fast enough. I mean, we're just living in such an instant society. But I'm just going to tell you, we don't have an instant God. When God works, He works swiftly. But God doesn't always work on your agenda and my agenda. And we need to learn not only to be persistent, we need to learn to be patient. Because God's working on me and God's growing me and God's changing me. You know, there's times that children will say, boy, I want a BB gun, Daddy. I want a BB gun. And maybe they're just about that high and you're thinking, well, you're not ready for that yet. Did it mean you didn't want them to have a BB gun? No, you want them to have that BB gun, but you've got to wait till they get old enough where they're mature enough to have that. And you know what? Sometimes God maybe doesn't answer our prayer because we're not mature enough to handle what He wants to do in our life at that moment, and He's growing us. Here's what I want you to just jot down in your Bible, what Zacharias and Elizabeth did. Just let God work. God doesn't get in a hurry, and neither should we. Amen? And then I wanted you to jot this one down. By the way, let me just say this. When God works, He always works on time, though, doesn't He? He's never late, never early, always on time. And then number three, perseverance. Now, you say persistence and perseverance are the same. Let me explain to you what I mean. When God didn't answer their prayer as a young priest and priest's wife, they didn't get upset and quit on God. They just kept on doing right. And I'm afraid there are Christians, when God doesn't do exactly what they think He should have done, or when He should have done it, or how He should have done it, they just quit on God. They just give up. And let's not be that kind of Christian. They just kept on doing right. You know what? God may not answer my prayer on my timetable. God may not answer my prayer in the way I expect Him to answer it. He may have something better. But in the meantime, just keep on doing right. Be perseverant in your life with God. That's what I see about Elizabeth and Zacharias. Do you see that in their lives? So I saw her righteousness. I've seen her reproach. And understand, that's just, there's times that while perception in her own life, you know, in the eyes of God, she wasn't a reproach, but in her own mind, her brokenness and her barrenness, in her mind, she felt like she was a reproach. But God's saying, I want you to know, Elizabeth, I've heard you and I've answered your prayer. God's going to bless them. And I want you to see her rejoicing. Now look in verse number 13. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. I want you to jot down right there beside John, God is gracious. That's what his name means. Right here we see her brokenness is going to give way to blessing. Her reproach to rejoicing. She's going to rejoice in the blessing of God. Look at verse number 14. And thou shalt have joy and gladness. Aren't you glad that God wants us to have joy and gladness in our lives? He said, I just want you to know, I'm going to bless you and you're going to rejoice. You're going to have joy and gladness in your life. I know it's been a long journey. I know it's been a difficult journey. I know that you've wondered at times if I was ever going to answer your prayer. But I just want you to know, I've heard your prayer. I'm going to answer your prayer and it's going to rejoice your heart. I just want to tell you, when God works in your life, it'll bring joy and gladness. Amen? I thought about that name, God is gracious. You know, Elizabeth rejoiced in the graciousness of God to her and Zacharias and the people of Israel. You know, what God was doing in her life, it went beyond her. It went to all the entire nation. It went to the world. Elizabeth, God of the oath, God of the covenant. You know what she knew all of her life? Her name told her all of her life that God keeps His word. that God keeps His promises, and what the angel promised in her life, He would perform. So she not only rejoiced in the answered prayer, but she's going to rejoice in God's power. I want you to look over, if you would please, in verse number 36. And I'm not preaching on Zacharias. You know he didn't believe the angel. And so he said, well, how am I know this is going to happen? He said, well, you're not going to be able to talk till the baby's born. You just ain't going to be able to say a word. And God tied up his tongue and he couldn't talk. You ever been around some folks you wish, swear to God, would tie up their tongue for? I better just leave that alone. And we come down to verse number 36. By this time, the angels appeared to Mary. And this is what the angel, Gabriel, been dispatched from heaven. I was going to preach on Gabriel, by the way. And here's what, Gabriel means mighty one of God. You know there's only three angels named in the Bible? Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer. Of course, we know he's a fallen angel. Michael, all right, means who is like God. And Michael is the archangel. That means one. Arch meaning chief angel. He was he's the head of the armies of heaven, the angelic hosts, the armies of heaven. And Michael's got an important task. He's the special protector of the nation of Israel. Oftentimes you see Michael in the Bible, he's always associated with Israel. Gabriel is one who stands in the presence of God. That's what he told Daniel. That lets you know angels are ageless. He was with Daniel. 500 years later, he's appearing to Zacharias and then to Mary. And you always see him delivering a message. He's always ready to deliver God's message. Now he's been dispatched again. He tells Mary what God's chosen her to do. And look at verse 36. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. You know what I believe God's doing here with this message? He is continuing to foster faith in Mary's heart. Because he's going to do a miracle in the life of Zacharias and Elizabeth, but it's nothing compared to what he's doing in Mary's life. And I believe that God allowed prominent women in Israel to be barren and gave them children to foster faith in His people to prepare them when He would announce to a virgin that she would conceive without a man and bring forth a child into the world. And remind Israel that there's nothing your God can't do. And I just want to remind us tonight, there's nothing that our God can't do. Amen? Notice, she's conceived a son in her old age, and she's 6 months pregnant. This is the 6th month with her who was called barren. Do you notice how that God is continuing to foster Mary's faith and say, listen, remember, she was barren, Mary, and she's got a child, and what God's going to do with you is even greater, and God's going to work a miracle in your life. Verse 37, with God, nothing shall be impossible. I wrote down in my notes, prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, but laying hold of His willingness. And she's rejoicing in the power of God in her life because God has done the impossible in her life. And I just want to remind us tonight that God can do the impossible in your life, in my life, your marriage, my marriage, our families, this church, our community, our nation. Hey, we get the idea. America's gone. Listen, God's in heaven and God can do whatever He wants to do. Listen, if God can't send revival, Brother Harper needs to pack up and give it up. If God can't bring revival, we need to just put our Bibles aside and just give it up. Listen, God can do anything God wants to do. I don't know if God's going to bring revival to America, but I believe He can bring revival to your heart and your life and my life and this church. God's not done in what He can do in our day. With Him, nothing is impossible. Let's just believe Him tonight. Amen? Wow. Number 3, I must move on. Her reverence. Can we look at another snapshot? Look at verse 39. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste. You know, I believe Mary's taken a trip to see Elizabeth. And I believe there's a couple reasons why. I believe one is because she wants to be close to a woman that God's worked in her life because God's working in Mary's life. And Mary's the younger of the two, and she just needed to be nurtured and encouraged and helped by Elizabeth. And ladies, can I tell you, if you've been saved any length of time at all, don't keep all that experience to yourself. Let God use you to mentor another lady or a younger lady and help others grow in their faith and find strength and encouragement from you. I believe there's something in Titus about that, about the aged women teaching the younger women. And I don't believe it was just grandma teaching her granddaughter how to make biscuits. I don't believe that when he's talking about age here has anything to do with how long we've been old. I believe it has everything to do with the maturity of your life spiritually. You can be a young woman and walk with God. And God placed people in your lives, if you're willing, for you to mentor them and help them grow in the things of God. You know, sometimes we just need to make ourselves available to do some things, don't we? And I think a second reason Mary went is because Mary's pregnant and she's not fully married to Joseph yet. They're engaged. It's as good as marriage, but hadn't been consummated. And she's bearing the reproach and the ridicule. Even Joseph at this point is doubting her. Has she been faithful to me? I believe the angel came to Joseph while she was with Elizabeth. I believe he is pondering it while she was gone. We can't imagine what went through that young woman's life named Mary and being the birth mother of Messiah. We can't even imagine it. Aren't you glad she was submissive to God's will? And let me just tell you something, ladies and men, everybody's not always going to understand what God's doing in your life. Sometimes you just got to stay faithful to God even when everybody doesn't understand. Amen. Amen. I need to hurry. Look at verse number 40. And entering the house of Zacharias, and she saluted Elizabeth. I can see that picture. She's made her way down to Judea. She knocks on the door, and Elizabeth comes to the door. And can you imagine the reunion they must have had, hugging? But I love verse 41. And it came to pass when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, John the Baptist. Can I just go ahead and say that? Leaped in her womb. The babe leaped in her womb. You know what that tells me? That's a baby in that womb and not a fetus. That reminds me that life begins at conception. Not when it's outside the womb, but inside the womb. Can I just say something? You hear women say, well, I can do what I want to with my body. May I remind us tonight that that's a whole separate body inside of that woman. What a privilege, ladies, that God has given you the privilege to bring children into the world. That's a great honor, great privilege. And I know that not every woman has that opportunity. I understand that. I do. But I just want you to know that doesn't mean God's punishing you. It doesn't. But I tell you what it does mean. It does mean that God can give you a big heart to love other people's kids. Make a difference in people's lives. And the babe leaps in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. I believe the Holy Spirit's working in her life at this moment. I believe by divine revelation, she knows that Mary's the birth mother of her Messiah. Verse 42, and she spake with a loud voice, and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? What a great honor, Mary, that the mother of my Lord would come and would be in my home, and I would get to serve you. You know what we do? We try to one-up everybody. They tell us something, we tell them something better. And then they tell us something, and then we tell them something better. She didn't go, well, Mary, I know God's doing something, but let me tell you what God's done for me. Let me tell you what the Lord. I've got. She didn't do that. Matter of fact, she didn't say anything about her. All the attention was on Mary. You know what I see there? I see humility, and reverence, and worship. Did you see that? I see that in her life. And notice. It goes on to say, for lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, and for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And so with a reverent heart, she worships the Messiah. She didn't worship Mary. She's reverencing the Lord that Mary's carrying at this point in her womb. And it wasn't about her, it was about the Messiah. Do you know what her son's later going to say when some people come to him and say, John, just want you to know that Jesus that you talked about down there on the banks of Jordan, he's baptizing more people than you are. Trying to bring a rift between John the Baptist, the forerunner, and the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. They were trying to drive a wedge. And you know what? He didn't get all huffy about it. And he didn't get all defensive about it. You know what he said? He said, well, he needs to increase and I need to decrease. I wonder where he learned that at. I wonder if he learned that from the humility of a mother that just put everybody else before herself. Now, that doesn't take away from the character of John, but I believe it does say something about the character of the home in which he was brought up in. What do you think? And the quality of the woman that reared him. And ladies, I just want to tell you, if we're going to have great sons and daughters, we need great godly wives and mothers to rear them. And we need the right kind of men to lead our homes, to give an atmosphere in which that woman can nurture those children, that mother can nurture those children for the Lord. Amen? And let me just put a little plug in, guys. Really want you to sign up for the upcoming Sportsman Bank. We're going to talk about growing men here at Calvary and investing in our lives. See, I need to be a better man. And I need to be a better Christian man. I don't want to be a good man. I want to be a godly man. And I've not arrived yet. And we're going to embark on that journey together. We just got a burden. As we sat around our table of staff, we were praying about the coming year. And I'm giving a little bit of vision before vision night. But I had a vision to watch us as men just grow into better godly men so that our wives and our children can be a godly, we can raise a godly seed for the Lord and have the right kind of atmosphere in our church. Amen. I'm not saying that there's not godly men here, but I believe we could all agree that we could be better men. Wouldn't you agree with that? And then we give you the last thing, and I'm finished. Her reward. Would you just fast forward to verse number 57? Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. God performed what he promised in her life. And can I just remind us tonight that God will do what he says he will do in our lives. He that hath begun a good work in us will perform it. He'll see it to completion. That what God started in your life, he's going to finish that work. Verse 58, and her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. You ever notice when God blesses us, it blesses others? Verse 59, it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother, there's Elizabeth, answered and said, no, not so. He shall be called John. We're going to do what God said to do. She's just an obedient woman. Did you see that? Love the Lord. And you say, preacher, what's her reward? Well, she gave birth to a child. God answered her prayer, and she gave birth to John the Baptist. But I want to tell you what Jesus said, and I close. Down the road, John's going to be beheaded. He's going to lose his life as the last prophet to the nation of Israel before Messiah came. And of course, he's the one who introduced Messiah to Israel. He's going to lose his life because he stood for righteousness. And Jesus, the Lord Jesus, is going to pay tribute to John's life. And he's going to say this: there's none greater born of woman than John the Baptist. That's what he's going to say. He paid tribute to John. But could we also say he paid tribute to his mother, Elizabeth? He said there's not any greater born of women than John the Baptist. I just want to tell you, John the Baptist, Jesus is saying, is one of the greatest prophets of ever. There's none greater than John. But I believe that's a tribute to the mother that God used. I believe that he was paying tribute to Elizabeth because she was the one that God used to bring him into the world. You know, when somebody blesses our children, they bless us. Now, you know what? I don't know if Elizabeth lived long enough to see John's ministry. I have no idea. I have no idea. I don't know if she saw the crowds that came to hear him preach, the impact of his life, the many that would be turned back to God. I don't know if she saw it. But I believe that she fostered in her son a heart for God. and continued to cultivate what God was going to do in the life of her son, because God had told her, your son's going to be a Nazarite, and I've got a job for him. And I believe she was sensitive to that, and God rewarded her for it. And I just want to say something, ladies. Here's the principle to all of us. God honors them who honor Him. And you want God to honor your life, young lady, young man, then just determine you're going to honor Him. Christians tonight, do we want God to honor our lives, our families, our future, our finances, what we do? Do we want God to honor it? Then we need to honor Him with these areas of our lives. And when we honor God, you know what God's going to do? He's going to honor us. Now, you know what? You may not always see it in the same way that maybe sometimes we see it in the life of somebody else. But that doesn't mean that God's not blessing you. It doesn't mean God's not working. And God may not answer every prayer you pray when you think He ought to answer it, or in the way you think He ought to answer it. But just keep on serving God. Because you know what? God's going to bless you. He's going to bless you. Amen. And so let's just be the right kind of people like Elizabeth. I believe we could say that she is the right kind of person. Wouldn't we agree? As a believer. And that's the kind of person you and I ought to be tonight. We ought to just be right before God and before others. There's times we're broken just like Elizabeth was. But you know what she did? She took it to the Lord, the one who could heal the brokenness in her life. And then we ought to rejoice when what God does with us. But not just when God blesses us, but when God blesses others. She didn't just rejoice in what God did in her life. She rejoiced in what God did in Mary's life. She was a reverent woman. She worshiped the Lord. She put God where He needed to be in her life. And you know what? God rewarded her for it. And I believe we put these principles in our lives. You know what I believe? God will reward us. Amen? And I don't know what God wants to do in your life tonight. But you know what? I find that Elizabeth was surrendered and submissive to the Lord. And maybe tonight you just need to step forward right here as we start ending 2018. And just set yourself before God afresh in you and say, God, I don't know everything You got for me. And I don't know what my future is going to look like. But God, can you just help me be the right kind of person so You can bless me? God, can You help me to honor You in all these different areas of life so that You can honor me? God, I just want to one more time surrender myself to You that Your will might be done in my life. And you know what? That never gets old. Did you notice Elizabeth was stricken in age? That means she wasn't a young woman. And she was still submissive to God. And don't ever lose sight of the fact that it doesn't matter where we are in what stage of life, God's not done with us till He takes us to glory. And we need to keep on surrendering to Him. Amen? And honoring Him and living for Him, being the right kind of people for Him. I'm thankful for Elizabeth. And I hope these ladies have been a blessing in your life and God spoke to your heart through some of the lessons in these ladies' life. Let's